The following program is sponsored by Seattle Open Door Church. Seattle Open Door Church is committed to loving God, loving people, and loving life. Our doors are open to whomever. No masks required. Seattle Open Door Church is located in downtown Burien next to the Southwest Courthouse. Host for There Is Hope is Richard Dover, the senior pastor of Seattle Open Door Church in Burien.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us in the midst of our preaching, that your perfect will would be done, that, Lord, you would speak to us individually and corporately as a church, and that, Father, we would just want to honor you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Press on toward the goal. This is one of my favorite passages. This is the passage that's kept me serving God with all my heart. It's kept me alive at times. I believe that we as Christians are to press on. And press on means to go forward. And we have a goal, and we're going to find out what that goal is. There's going to be many goals. The number one goal is that we can turn around and that we enter into heaven and we become just like Jesus. You know, when we get to heaven, it says we become like him. What does it mean? It means that what happens is that sin is removed from us and we have a glorified body and we start to honor God. So let's look at Philippians 3. 8 to 10. This is Apostle Paul speaking. He's speaking to the church in Philippi. He says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from the faith in Christ." The righteousness from God that depends upon faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And then we're going to go to verse 11. We're going to look at 11 through 14. That by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's break this down. Let's see what the Bible is teaching us. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. Again, Paul is speaking. He's writing this when he's in a jail. He's in jail for serving Christ. He's being punished for serving God. And he brings some commands to the church. Verse 8. How many know a story about Paul? Paul's a Pharisee. Paul is one, he says, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm the best Pharisee there is. Paul's also one who turns around and says, I had zeal. If anybody had zeal for God, I had zeal for God. There was something about Paul that he had a fire for God, but he was misled. He was going the wrong direction. And then he has an encounter with Jesus. His life has changed. But Paul has a resume. There are people who have a resume. There are people, maybe their resume isn't for God, but their resume is because they have done something in their employment that they are known as the best employee there could possibly be. They have a resume of all the things that they have done, how many accomplishments they have. They're the person that has all the plaques on their wall. They're the person that has, you know, those crystal little glasses that turn around. You get a little piece of crystal glass and has your name on it and says top employee of the month or best sales or whatever. You know that thing that would have been better if they gave you money instead? Okay, and you may have a counter of those things. That's who Paul is, and this is what he says in verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness from God that depends upon faith. Paul is saying nothing good in you without Christ. Is Paul saying that he did some things? He's saying he did all kinds of different things. But he says, what does he say? Count it all loss. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nothing, listen, nothing is good in you without Christ. Do you hear that? Without Christ, Paul's saying it doesn't matter. He says, listen, I followed the law. I did what the law said. I was the fair. I did all these things. I was a good person. But just because you was a good person, it means nothing in the eyes of God. If you want to press on to be like Jesus, if you want to press on to be a godly father, if you want to press on to be a godly grandparent, if you want to press on to be a godly employee, if you want to reflect Jesus, you have to consider the good in you that it is of no value whatsoever without Christ. It's called being humble. Can a prideful person look like Jesus? No way. So it is called being at a place of humbleness and saying, you know what? Everything I've done is great, it's wonderful, but it means nothing in Christ Jesus. It's not my righteousness. If you're going to press on, it can't be your righteousness. How many know there's many people trusting in their righteousness? And they will try to convince you how good they are. But if you are telling people how good you are, guess what? You're not that good. It's kind of like the guy that comes up to me and he says, I'm a prophet. And he starts telling me, I'm a prophet. Now, you need to respect me. I'm a prophet. I'm a prophet. If he's a prophet, what does he need to do? Prophesy and have it be true. Bragging about you're a prophet means nothing unless you can prophesy. Bragging who you are about how good of a Christian you are, if you're not reflecting Christ, it doesn't matter how good of a Christian you are. Next one, if we want to press on, we want to become something that we have not been. We want to become a better human being. We want to be a better example of Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We have to die and then rise up. Too many people want to be lifted up before they die. Did you hear me? Too many people want to be lifted up in positions and titles. They want labels. They want to be something without dying first. Philippians 3, 10 to 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Verse 10. He wants to know the power of Jesus' resurrection. He wants to know that power that can raise Jesus from the grave. He wants that power to live within him. Do you want that kind of power in your life? That the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives within you? That you could accomplish the things that Jesus does? Then what do you have to do? You have to die. Paul says, before I can encounter the power of his resurrection, I need to learn how to suffer. How many leaders want to suffer? Boy, you said that. That's true. How many leaders turn around and says, follow me as I suffer? You don't hear that. Suffer, share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That's suffering. Did Apostle Paul suffer? He was stoned 3 different times, left for dead. He knew about suffering to the point of death. And he had resurrection power that followed him where he went. Give the good, give the bad, give your entire life to Christ. Die to self completely. Today is Father's Day. So I want to tie this in and continuously tie it in to fathers. If you want to be a good father, die completely. Don't trust in you being a good father. Trust in the Holy Spirit within you being a good father. Why do you have to die completely? So you can rise up a new life trusting in Christ alone. If you are dead, the only way you'll get resurrected is through Jesus. If you die to self, you know the only way you're going to make it is what? You have to go to Jesus instead of yourself. Press on, forget the past. Do you want to be the best father, best grandparent, best mother, best student, best child, best whatever it may be, best employer, best employee, best politician? Oh, some politicians would hear this sermon, would help. What do you have to do? You have to forget the past. What did Paul say? Not only that, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. If you want to obtain godliness, forget the past and move forward. Many of us can look in that past and we can see all the ugly stuff we have done and how we have lived. Fathers, if we're a father, we can look at how many mistakes we have made as a father, how many mistakes we still make as a father. And if we're looking to our mistakes and we're looking back here, we've taken our eyes off of Jesus and we're looking into our past. If Jesus is this way, if the high prize of his calling is this way, if the goal I have is this way and I'm looking this way, am I going to get to what I desire? You'll never get to it. So if you're looking at all the mistakes you made, you're looking at all the failures that you've been, if you look at all of that, you're taking your eyes off of Jesus and you will not reach your goal. But what about those who have good accomplishments? I've done this, I've done that, I was the best in what I did. Everything I've done has been the best. If you're looking at how good you are back here in the past, you're going to miss the mark just as well. Our eyes have to be focused on Jesus and Jesus alone. Can't be on anything else but Jesus. Verse 14. I press on to reach the end of the race, the goal, and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I press on to reach the end of the race. That's my goal, is to get to the end, to get wherever it is that I'm trying to accomplish. I want to get there. I want to be that I look like Jesus. That's my end goal. I want to be a godly father. That's my end goal. I want to be a church, if we talk about all of us. We want to be a righteous church. We're going to talk about that in a moment. We want to be a righteous church. That's our goal. If you have that as your goal, you have to run the race and you have to get to that goal. And then you receive the heavenly prize which for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. What is that heavenly prize? What's the ultimate goal? Heaven. Eternal life. That's our ultimate goal, is eternal life. But listen, the reward is greater than eternal life. The reward, that prize, that heavenly prize is more to eternal life. The heavenly prize that you see is to see other souls that are in heaven because of you running the race. Laura shared the fact that she's been running a race. She has a goal to live a godly life, to be a godly mother, to be a godly grandmother, to be a godly great-grandmother. And I don't know if it's great-great yet. Is it great-great? Will be. Oh, my goodness. So her goal is, she don't stop at just being a great mom. She don't stop at just being a godly mom. She don't stop being a godly grandma, not being a godly great-grandma, but she wants to be, I don't know, am I speaking for you when it's not true? Do you want to be a great, great, great godly grandma? She says, oh God, give me health and strength to be able to be around that long. Okay, that is our goal, but you know what? You know what her goal really is? For her kids to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For their kids to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For their kids know Jesus is Lord and Savior. Then our goal shouldn't be just to do what we do as a Christian so that we can have a good life and get to heaven. It should be because we care about souls. The greatest reward is to be in heaven. And as you're in heaven, God turns around and says, how many people in here know Jesus because of Carmi Dover? And people start standing up and standing up and standing up. And they're every skin color you can think of. And then Carmi looks at some people and she says, they look like they're from Uganda. There's people in heaven that say, because of me, that I'm in heaven, because of me, I'm in heaven. And then she walks over to him and says, how can that be? And they say, you know what? You and your husband went to Uganda and did some prison ministry at the woman's prison. And when your husband gave an altar call and I came down and kneeled at his feet, you came over and you laid hands on me and you prayed for me to receive Jesus Christ. But maybe it wasn't that person. Maybe the lady that received Jesus Christ got out of prison and shared with somebody else. And because of her hearing the message of salvation and Carmi praying that she received Christ, there's other people that are in heaven. That should be our goal. So let's talk about some of the pressing on that we can do. Press on to be a godly employee. Do you know that if you have an ungodly boss, it can be challenging? Anybody ever had an ungodly boss? Anybody ever been an ungodly boss? Don't raise your hand. You can have an ungodly boss, but can you be a godly employee? If you press on, if you have that as your goal, my mark that I have is I want to be the best employee I can to represent Jesus Christ. Is that a good goal? Then follow the principles we just talked about. You know what? Maybe, well, I got to pick some job that nobody has in this room that's never had, so you don't think I'm talking about you. So nobody in this room has been an auto mechanic that owns an auto shop, right? Good. I can do this. Nobody will get offended. Do you know maybe you own an auto shop and you had the best record of being the best mechanic in town? And then you move to Arkansas and you have no money and you can't open up an auto shop, but you love working in cars. You know what? If you want to be a godly employee, you know what you do? You go to the auto shop and you act like you are there to do only one thing, to be a good mechanic. And so when you're there and that owner of that shop does things different than you think he should do as a mechanic, you don't say to him, you know what, in Seattle, I was the best auto mechanic in all of Seattle and you're doing everything wrong. Is that a godly employee? No. You die to self. You forget what's behind of that experience of who you were as a business owner. You leave that behind and you do what? You become the best mechanic. But can you still learn? You find out when you got cars in Arkansas that they turn around and have pit holes on everything because there's been hell and everything gets touched by the hell. You turn around and find out because of all the rain, the thunderstorms, all the tornadoes and all this stuff that you go underneath the car and you look and see and you say, wow, there's a forest underneath that car. And if you're not careful, you will try to fix that car the way you did in Seattle and it won't be the same. So what do you have to do? You have to put that all aside and you look to Jesus. Quickly, let's go to the next one. Be a godly neighbor. Do you want to be a godly neighbor? You have to die to self. Be a godly neighbor. What about your goals to be a godly child? Do we have any children here? Okay, I guess none of you were born. Every person here is a child, right? You started as a child. You're a child. You had to be a child at one time. I'm joking, but guess what? If you have parents that are still living, you're still a child. Do you want to honor your parents? Do you want to glorify your parents by the life that you live? Well, my parents were terrible. Does that mean you should be a terrible child? If your parents are terrible, what should you be? You should be a godly child, so hopefully your parents can learn how to be a godly parent, even if they're 80 years old. What else? How about be a godly grandparent? That helps for some of us. There's some godly grandparents in here. Do you want to be a godly grandparent? How about a godly parent? Okay, some of you say, I have no kids. I'm not a parent. I don't have no kids. Are there people that look to you to lead and guide them and mentor them? Then the reality, you can be a parent to them. Are you a godly parent? Do you want to be a godly parent? Okay, it's Father's Day. Godly father. Can I tell you something? Our society would be a lot better if we had godly fathers. I believe in the power of men. I believe God called men to be leaders, that men are to be examples of Jesus. Should women? Everybody should. But God put an anointing upon men. You read it in your Bible, you can't deny it. Men are called to be leaders. What would happen in our culture if men were leaders? What would ever happen if our culture, if men realized that every single person is looking to a man to set an example, and they're looking to man to fail? And what if we had men that said, you know what, I may not have a son, I may not have a daughter, but I have some people that I'm mentoring, and to be a godly father, our society would change. So what's your goal? How about your goal? Your goal, our goal, is to be a righteous church. A righteous church. Let me change this phrase. When we say we want to be a righteous church, because it sounds like we want to be a better than church, how about if I put it, we don't want to be an unrighteous church? Can everybody figure that out? We don't want to be an ungodly church. Is that easier for you so you don't think there's legalism involved? Because does anybody want to have an ungodly church? Does anyone want to be part of an unrighteous church? No. We understand what that means, that we want to be a church that reflects Jesus by our attitude, the way we live, we walk, we talk. We want to be a church that looks like a church that believes that Jesus is the answer. And so, is that our goal? To be a righteous church, a church that honors God? Listen, a righteous church is not legalistic, because legalism isn't righteousness. Legalism is, we're better than. We're better than those people out there. Well, I got to tell you that some of those people out there are in here right now. Oh, wait, every one of us are. We were out there earlier and we came in here. We didn't suddenly become righteous because we walked in the church doors. And so out of it is that we want to be a church that recognizes that people are fallen, people are broken, that our goal is to love them, to cherish the God in them, to show them respect and honor, to help them to change their life and improve their life. And we as a church have done that for how long? Since 1949, I think, is when the church started. And it's done it all kinds of different ways. And sometimes we as a church have done better, sometimes we've done worse. But our goal has been to be a church that reaches the lost, to reach the hurting. And if we have that goal, we can't be prideful. We can't think that we're better than because of how we dress, how we look, how we talk. The only thing that makes us better than is we have accepted Christ in our life, who is changing us to become better. But we're not better than anybody. Because the last I know that all of us have sinned sometime in the last week. Maybe it's last week when you didn't like my sermon and you badmouthed me. That was your sin. Maybe that's the only sin you've done in the last week. I don't know what your last sin was. I don't know when it was. But all of us have fallen short. So it's not, we're not better because we never sinned. We are becoming better because of Christ within us. Our goal should be to be like Jesus. That should be our goal. We can't go wrong if we're like Jesus. So I got a question for you. What is your goal? What is your goal? Is your goal to be like Jesus? Is your goal to be a godly employee? To be a godly neighbor? To be a godly sibling? To be a godly brother or sister? Is your goal to be a godly grandparent or a great, great, great grandparent? Is your goal to be a godly parent? To be a godly father? To be a righteous church? Or is your goal to become a Christian? Because listen, you cannot become a godly father until you become a born-again Christian. You're striving for something that'll never happen. I am going to try to be a godly parent, a godly this, a godly that, but I'm not going to have Christ in me give me the ability to do it. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. If you think that you can be good enough on your own strength, you're wasting your time. It's vanity. You will always fall short because you're trusting in whom? Yourself. There has to be a place, the first step, to be a person. Do you want to make a difference in this world? Listen, there's racism in this world. Did you know that? In this community, there's racism. Did you know that? There's racism. Do you think you can change racism without Jesus Christ? Good luck. Because there are people who are racist that have no God in them, and they will never change until God grabs a hold of them. And how does God grab a hold of them? By you, with the Christ in you, loving on them and sharing Christ with them, and they accept Christ and their life is changed. And so out of it, if you want to conquer racism by thinking, well, what I'll do is I'll just be really nice to people and they won't be racist anymore. Good luck with that. Racists don't care how nice you are. They're worried about the color of your skin or the language that you speak or how you dress. So as we end, I have a question for you. What do you want to be? Do you want to be unrighteous? Do you want to be unholy? Do you want to be ungodly? Do you want to be a servant of Satan? A servant of self? Or do you want to honor Jesus? And that first step is being a Christian. Are you a born-again Christian? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You've said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need you as my Savior. Jesus, I fall short in so many areas, and Jesus, I need you to change me. I need you to transform me. I need you to change the way I think. I need you to make me a different person. I need you to take control of my life. Jesus, I need you to be my Savior, and I need you to be my Lord. There are people who have done that in this room, and their life has changed. Changed. Isaiah. I don't think Isaiah, 2 years ago, had any idea how to be a godly father. But now he has an idea. And because of Christ in his life has changed. So Isaiah is normally, where is he at normally? He's with the children, working with the children. Why? So he can learn as he ministers with the children. As he looks to Susan, who's a godly mother, what's her example? And what can I learn so I become that father that I'm going to be soon? Now, has he always been a father? Ever since he had his son, actually has two sons, he's been a father. But he's learning how to be a father, a godly father. So, Lord, I pray for each person in this room, Lord. As we open this altars up, we're saying the altars are open. And if you want to be a godly parent, you want to be a godly grandparent, you want to be more, maybe most people in this room would say, I am walking in righteousness through Christ Jesus. I'm doing what I need to do. But you want to go further along, and you know that you just need more prayer. If you need prayer to be more what you need to be, you can come up to this altar. Maybe you want to learn how to be more of a godly father. Maybe you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never done that. This altar is open to come up to this altar and just bow down before God and say, God, I give you this area of my life. Maybe there's some sin you need to let go of and you need to come to this altar and give it to God. Maybe you're saying, I'm serving God with all my heart, but you know what? There's this one area that I need to give to God. And I won't really be that employee I need to be until I give this to God. Or I really will not be that parent I need to be until I give this to God. Or maybe it's that you really do need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to There Is Hope with Pastor Richard Dover. Through Jesus Christ, we can live a victorious life. Seattle Open Door Church, located in Burien, committed to loving God, loving people, and loving life. Seattle Open Door Church wants you to know that regardless of where you've been or what you've done, God loves you. Their doors are open to anyone and everyone. Their services are Sunday mornings at 11. Seattle Open Door Church is located at 625 Southwest 149th Street in Burien.